This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Philip Seed. But for now, let's talk about Malaysian capital markets, especially as we know we achieved 64 years of independence. And would you believe that Malaysia once had the largest weightage on the MSCI Emerging World's, Emerging Markets Index? Because when this index first started in 1988, Malaysia was the country with the highest weighting at 33.8%.
Today, Malaysia barely has a 2.5% weightage. Even from a market capitalization perspective, Malaysia has been eclipsed by almost all other ASEAN countries except for Philippines and Vietnam. So as the country celebrates 64 years of independence and we forge ahead with our goal of attaining high income and developed nation status, will our capital markets reflect this? Or will Malaysia's capital markets be increasingly marginalised?
To find out, we speak to Pankaj C. Kumar, a frequent commentator on BFM and a financial markets columnist. Good morning, Pankaj. Now, the vibrancy of the Malaysian capital markets has clearly lost some of its sparkle compared to markets like Singapore and Hong Kong, as seen by our rather lackluster IPO market. Basically, what needs to be changed?
Very good morning, BFM and listeners. Thanks for the call, Xiaoning and Phillips. I think in any stock market, what is important is to see the breadth and depth of the market itself and to see to what extent it represents the economy. And today, the economy, as you know, have evolved. And we are no longer just a brick and mortar economy, but a click and mortar economy, as we can see during this pandemic crisis. But due to our stringent business listing requirements and profit track records that are needed, much of these new economy listings do not get to be featured in Malaysia. And so, and we also lack foreign large capitalized companies to be listed here, and thus making Malaysia a less vibrant market. Yeah, for example, if you look at more developed, like you mentioned just now about Singapore and Hong Kong, if you look at Singapore, the STI, they have a few foreign-listed companies that make up the STI itself. Yeah, companies like Dairy Farm, Jardine Matheson, Hong Kong Lang, and even from Thailand, yeah, Thai Beverage. So Hong Kong too have seen many changes, and being a financial market, as you know, they too have attracted many listings out of China. But for Malaysia, we very much depend on our homegrown names to be listed. While we have the numbers in terms of quantity and maybe to a certain extent the quality, we lack large market cap listings. Yeah, so for example, if you look back in the past year or so, we only saw a few, including Mr. DIY and CITOS. Yeah, but the question is, where are the others? Yeah, even Indonesia have seen one of the largest listing that he have witnessed recently, you know, the biggest startup, Bukalapak, which raised $1.5 billion in its IPO just last month. It's an e-commerce company. Yeah, and the Jakarta Stock Exchange saw this listing coming through and demand was overwhelming. Yeah, so allowing or making exceptions to large unicorns for an IPO is a game Malaysia may lose out, yeah, if these listings continue to be tapped by other markets. As you can see, I think I just saw right this morning, even Custom is looking at listing in the US, and they have passed the unicorn status, valuing the company at US $1.3 billion. So you can see that if we don't allow our homegrown names to be listed, then continuously we'll be marginalized by investors.
So I want to build that on that point. You talk about the lack of breadth and depth, and you kind of attribute it to the very stringent listing requirements in Bursa, right? What would you do to relax that?
Yeah, so I think we need to open up a bit more. Yeah, I think in terms of listing, especially when you talk about the new economy in terms of IPOs that is coming from these startups. Yeah, and that is something that I think a lot of exchanges are looking at. And Jakarta have done it with Bukalapak's listing. As you know, most of Asian startups are looking at markets in the US to get listed through SPACs and don't know what not. Yeah, so if we are able to tap some of these names, especially the homegrown ones, yeah, we should encourage them to come to the market to come to a public issue.
And Pankaj, if we drill down specifically to Bursa Malaysia, we already see trading volume has been on the downtrend since 1997, except of course for last year when everybody was working from home and day trading. But foreign shareholding, all-time low. I mean, is it just because of the type of companies and the dearth of new economy stocks?
That's a very good question, Xiaoling. I think trading volume is okay. The market is vibrant, especially since the MCO days of last year, as we saw the return of retail investors. But the foreign boys is something else. Yeah, I think for them, a Malaysian market has become marginal market in the scheme of things when we look at the overall emerging market or Asia ex-Japan space. So we have been losing out weightings in key parameters like the MSCI index series. And that means less and less interest among foreigners. Even for investors who are looking at Malaysia, their question is always about looking for companies with exceptional and sustainable earnings growth or even unique business model. For example, if you compare now and then, yeah, back in 1990s and maybe prior to the Asian financial crisis, Malaysia provided investors with sectors that were not present anywhere else. Yeah, our unique, for example, yeah, our unique plantation sector. We also had gaming companies like the NFOs, Genting. Yeah, all these were pretty unique that time. Yeah, gaming being that, and later on we also had glove. Yeah, not many markets have glove makers listed on the boards. Yeah, so Malaysia benefited in that sense because we had unique. We provided unique exposure for foreigners, but slowly other markets developed and they became bigger and we lost out. Yeah, you can see even some of the bigger names, like say, for example, in the agriculture sector, some of them are listed in Singapore today. So investors have choice whether to list or whether to buy a Malaysian plantation listed on Bursa or a Singapore listed plantation company, yeah, listed in SGX. And the other issue is to why Malaysia has been left out is that our earnings growth has been rather poor over the last 10 years, if you've been following the market that long, yeah. With the exception of perhaps maybe the last one or two quarters, Malaysian corporate actual earnings has been relatively poor and more misses than upside, yeah, surprises. So in that sense, we continue to see earnings growth is not there. On another note, we have also issues related to governance too, yeah, which the foreigners find it difficult to digest, especially in transactions when they are related party transactions. So we have seen these issues coming up. And lately, of course, ESG is another space, yeah, where Malaysian corporates are beginning to be marginalized because of our practices.
Well, let's talk about GLCs because some commentators also note that, I mean, the key to reigniting interest requires a real restructuring of GLCs, which are index heavyweights but are inefficient. How much of a challenge should this be then?
I think there are definitely opportunities among the index heavyweights, and some of this has been talked about. Yeah, for example, like in the case of Tenaga, there has been this discussion about breaking the company into two or three components, yeah, which basically splitting the company into a generation company and a transmission or distribution company. Yeah, that will also create some excitement. Of course, earlier on, we also saw SIMW split into three. There are also talks about Maybank spinning off their insurance arm, Etika. Yeah, so among all this can create some excitement. And of course, we also saw early this year when Axiata and through Celcom, you know, announced the merger with Digi. That's a great win-win deal, and investors welcome that. So I think we have seen some, interest coming on restructuring, yeah, in terms of GLC names.
Yeah, but Pankaj, isn't it just a reshuffling of assets? I mean, how do we really get that vibrancy going for GLCs?
I think at the end of it, it has to be always about what does it bring to investors in terms of value. Yeah, if the restructuring or spin-off or merger, you know, creates more value, picking out inefficiencies and increasing, market share, that will definitely attract interest. Yeah, we saw that actually in the deal between Celcom and Digi.
All right, thank you for your time. That was Pankaj Sikumar, a frequent commentator on BFM and a financial markets columnist, giving us a view as to why Malaysian stock market is I guess, not sparkling as much as it used to. But I want to reiterate that even though the FBM KLCIS entered into the 1600 territory, so a bit of good news, a good stock market doesn't always equate to a good economy, and we have to differentiate it. Main Street can be very different from, you know, High Street.
Yeah, and I think a key indication of healthy
markets. Sorry, Wall Street versus High Street.
High Street. Well, so I think the challenge is, I think a key indicator of market vibrancy is also your IPO listings, right? And you can see and contrast the difference. If you saw Malaysia, I think only raised about $0.1 billion, right, with 12 deals with Singapore. And you compare that with even our neighbours like Thailand, 15 deals, $2.9 billion. Even Philippines, just only 2 deals, $1.3 billion. I think it kind of shows that we really can't get the big players in to list.
Which is a point Pankaj raised. Do we need to relook at our regulatory structure? Do we need to make things easier for companies to list, to attract the unicorns from the region to list here, and also to prevent our unicorns from departing from Malaysia and listing in other big markets?
We had Grab and now Qasim.
Yeah, and I think, you know, whether they will choose to go to other markets, I think, of course, it's due to the fact that there's a lot of capital flow there. So challenges ahead for the Malaysian capital market. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.